You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Waits at his 50. A fake punt! Anger throws it. Interception dropped at the 40-yard line because the intended receiver,
C.J. Goodwin,
fell down.
Many are calling that the worst fake punt of the entire NFL season. One of the worst fake punts that you will ever see. And more and more people laughing at the Dallas Cowboys after another loss to the Atlanta Falcons yesterday on this radio station, their third straight. They now fall to 3-5. And of course, right after that, Ray McCloud scores the touchdown to make it 21-10. You could argue that that decision from McCarthy and that execution with Bones and Anger and C.J. Goodwin looking like he was running a go route. Was it supposed to be a back shoulder fade? Was it supposed to be a stop? Was it a go? You could argue that swung the game to basically end it for the Falcons.
Yeah, and I mean, you had mentioned you thought there might be a Goodwin play in there, and Mike McCarthy said that was something we really focused in on this week. So something you devoted practice time to. This was not a spur-of-the-moment thing. Something you planned for and said, boy, we're all as a team seeing this on tape and seeing the vulnerability and we're going to take advantage of it. You weren't prepared for it when it was called. Everybody was confused as to, oh, wait, what are we supposed to do here? It's, again, just an indictment on the way this team is prepared. And it's a really bad look. And I don't know about y'all. Maybe I'm being obvious guy here. Didn't you feel like before the play when Wanya Thomas is very loudly calling things out there as the personal protector, didn't you feel a bit like, what are they doing? This is different. They're doing something here. Like, it felt like they were being way too upfront even in projecting that they were going to be doing something.
I didn't notice it, to be honest.
Greg Olsen did.
He noticed a lot. All accurate, and it was not Cowboy positive.
Take that, Romo.
I love the idea.
I forgot how good Greg Olsen was. Holy
crap. He's tremendous. He's tremendous.
Really good yesterday.
I love the idea of doing something like that. You know, but I don't care for having the punter throw it. You know, like if you're going to do a fake punt, do a direct snap to somebody, the up guy, and then just have them run the 2 yards. Or keep your guys on the field. Keep your quarterback and your regular offense on the field on 4th-and-2 and go for it. I don't have a problem with fake punting and that stuff. That was, you can't have your quarterback throw the punter throw a ball. He's not used to throwing. And you could clearly see with the way he threw it, that's just not something he's comfortable doing. But like the idea of going for it, they're fine. Go ahead. I have no problem with that. That was not the play that you want to run.
We got two messages from Tolos on the Odyssey app. Pepe, get us started.
Yeah, first off, we have Bradley in Wichita Falls, and he's got some advice here for the Cowboys front office.
Man, I got a three-step plan for the Cowboys here. Number one, we need to fire McCarthy. We need a young, you know, fresh mindset, and there's some fresh perspectives. I'd say Ben Johnson, Aaron Glenn, somebody along those lines. Number two, you need to sit and shut down Dak and CD for the year. Start Trey Lance and see what he's got. Maybe he's got a little something. Re-sign him in the offseason. Number three, fire sale begins by Tuesday's trade deadline. Offload all these soon-to-be free agent guys for as much draft picks as you can, and let's start the rebuild. All right, guys, thank you.
What was his name, Peyton?
Bradley, Wichita Falls.
Bradley, tremendous segue. Is this the perfect, did they just get the perfect excuse to sell with Dak and Lamb hurt? 877-881-1053. Now, after the game, Jerry Jones, in my opinion, still throwing the fishing rod into the water with whatever bait he has left, trying to keep you hooked saying, we have some things in the mix ahead of the trade deadline tomorrow. That's right, Election Day and trade deadline day tomorrow. We could be buyers. We'll probably do a couple things this week. I'm a long way from being dismayed about the team this year. That same old line that I wish he would stop and I wish he would change and I wish he would get rid of. I put up a poll question to the Tolos. What would you like them to do for tomorrow's deadline? And I wanted to see how many actually said buy. The options were buy, sell, what's the matter, they'll do nothing. 2,300 votes. Want to guess what's leading the way?
And this is what
sell
they should
do?
Sell
or do nothing.
What do you want them to do?
Yeah, okay, then sell.
Sell.
67% say sell. 29.5% say what's it matter, they'll do nothing. Only around 4% want to buy.
That's 4% more than I would have guessed. And 67% is stunningly low to me. Because I would think with all the frustration that's built up with this fan base right now, you would be saying purge everybody. Like get rid of anybody you can. I absolutely burn it down. Like Molotov cocktail to this core. Yes. I want it done. And there's only so much you can do. You can't get rid of CD right now. You can't get rid of Dak right now. Not that they would even want to. They wouldn't want to. But you can't get rid of those two. You can't get rid of some of the bigger contracts, but there are options here. Like we kicked them around recently. If you really want to say we're all in on rebuilding and getting capital, and we don't know that we can pay Tyler Smith coming up. Again, they're not going to do that, but they could. Or trade Bland, as somebody had mentioned earlier. Or trade Diggs and pay Bland. I don't think his breakdown is a bad idea. His little 3-point plan. Number two is not realistic. They're not just going to shut down Dak and CD and say, oh, we're going to be awful for the next 10 games. But I do think that what makes the most sense right now is if somebody wants players that you have, if somebody wants to buy off you guys, you need to sell.
I agree. And that would excite me for a fire sale.
Oh, selling is, I'm a huge fan of it. Like that is the preferred thing that all organizations, you should sell and buy all the time. And
I thought you sounded a little anti last night.
Anti-sell?
Yeah.
I'm not anti-sell. It's just like, what are you going to sell? Are you selling for the sake? They don't have, who are you selling? Like, are you going to sell?
I'm selling Turpin. I'm selling Donovan Wilson.
Eric Kendricks.
Do they have like 30 players on 1-year deals? I don't know what it is. It's some crazy.
They've got a lot. But yeah, Eric Kendricks, you could move. Damone Clark. Do you end up saying Oso Digizua is not coming back? I mean, maybe he is, but you say maybe he's not coming back. Maybe you say
Cooks.
Lawrence, Cooks, whenever they get healthy. You know, if you decide
you want to sell Diggs, you want to get something back, big back for Trayvon, fine. Now that if you want to re-sign Bland.
If you're just going to sell like Turpin and small parts, I don't know. But if you're going to sell. Like really sell.
I mean, really sell is really very limited on who you can
move. Can you really sell if you're not selling Dak, Lamb, or Parsons?
You can sell Parsons. You can't sell. You're not going to. If you trade Dak or Lamb, I mean, the amount of guaranteed money hit you'll take is killer. Right?
Your options to genuinely sell and get big return would be Micah Parsons, and again, probably not going to do this. Micah Parsons, Tyler Smith, and Deron Bland, or Trayvon Diggs, depending on how you.
Yeah, I'd be very happy if you could get a ton of fifth and sixth.
Sure.
That's. I mean, you're not getting anything. You want to pull a blockbuster for Trayvon? Okay, fine.
Mm-hmm.
But all my spare parts and pieces for a ton of fifth and sixth. Give me a ton of darts.
I mean, if you're talking about...
I mean, small darts.
If you're talking about...
My point is definitely don't buy. Like, no, unless you are... Which, again, this whole thing is just ass backwards. You don't re-sign Dak, Lamb, and Parsons here soon and then go into next year saying we're not trying to contend.
Well, look, if Miami says, hey, we're going to blow it up, we'll trade you Tyreek Hill, okay, I'll buy. Right, I'll buy. Right? Yeah. You know what I mean? But like, if you promise me Cooper Kupp's healthy for the next 2 years, I'll buy. I could buy that. But short of that, there's no point in buying. You want? But if I'm going to sell, I want to sell like as much as I possibly can.
What if you?
This would be like Ranger sell. It's like what we talked about with Sandler.
Expiring guys and
those level of names, those types of contracts with what the Rangers should have done.
You hate selling. Big name inside of the division, but if you want to talk about name, scheme fit, team fit, need fit, capital to move, everything else, a Trayvon Diggs to Washington Commanders trade would make a ton of sense. The Commanders have an extra third from Philadelphia. They've got a first, a second, and 2/3. You hold them a little bit hostage. Say, hey, I know a lot of corners right now are going for thirds. That's what Snead went for. This is in the division. This is somebody that's going to hurt for us to see across. You need to give us a second. If Washington says we'll give you a second for Diggs, are you saying, all right, let's go?
Yes.
Yeah. I am.
Yeah.
I think I am too, because you're going to have to move somebody at some point at corner.
Did the injuries give them the excuse to do it, or are we just wasting our breath and Jerry never will?
Oh, we're wasting our breath. he's not going to, because he doesn't believe in that philosophy. I don't think in that philosophy of kind of tearing things down, because if you tear things down, you admit irrelevance.
Yep.
And what his problem, I believe, is that he's unaware that they're already irrelevant.
Look, I mean, I think it gives them the opportunity, but they've also failed at execution all season long. So that means they will probably do the exact opposite and buy. They will probably buy to some extent is what will happen.
You think they'll buy to some extent?
Like
try to appease us.
Yeah, and I don't think it'll be, you're not going to go out and get somebody big, but it'll be you'll find them, they'll get the third or fourth running back from Miami or something for a conditional sixth.
Sean on the fan text, 877-881-1053. A lot of fans, a lot of Tolos here saying sell. 817, yeah. Sell Micah, Blaine, and Turpin. 469 and 214 say sell Aubrey. Someone will pay for him. 817 says sell Guyton for a bag of chips.
Look, Guyton's going to be, this is what we talked about this in April. Like we had said, Guyton will be good. Guyton's very talented. This is also, I don't think you guys are super surprised. I don't think maybe the level or the extent that it is, but you guys also knew and we're hearing all the universal reports coming out after Guyton got picked up. He's raw. He's probably not going to be ready this year. You're going to have to make him play, but he's not going to be ready to go this year. And so I think Guyton's going to be fine. It's just going to be, it's going to take some time and they don't have a lot of time right now.
Jerry Jones with a quivering voice, apparently addressing the locker room afterwards on where we go from here.
We came in here thinking we could win that ball game. That's a team that we could beat. It's obvious mistakes, those kinds of things. Just any team in the NFL can do you in. This is not a good time. I really regret this for all of our Dallas Cowboy fans. We'll tell you this, that I've been around, I've seen Michael Irvin tear up and cry when he couldn't lose anybody because he's just recovering from knee surgery. Yet his ass came back and led a team to 3 Super Bowls. I know you can be there if you're there. That room's full of guys that can get it done. I believe in them. Coaches and all.
Man, he's searching. He's digging for anything in the bag to try to keep us convinced, to try to keep our belief. We're dead. We are dead inside and numb to it.
Salesman.
Can't be hooked anymore.
Salesman, that's it. He's just selling.
I do wonder if that's going to influence the way coaching decisions are made at the end of the season, though. If that there's such a concern of like hooking people and making sure, well, he's also a big name that they would go just kind of free will and Belichick, bring him in. Belichick's a name that'll get people excited. Obviously he's got a big resume, but there's so much concerning about Belichick's last few years in New England that don't seem to translate and wouldn't translate in to things here in Dallas.
How much are these injuries going to come back and bite us for them to use as an excuse? That's what
excuse to do what?
A excuse to just keep the same core for like next year moving forward. Like, guys, how can we really be judged off this? You tell me what team. Jazz Massadri was hitting us up joking yesterday. Well, the great Doris Burke impersonator. And she's like, what's Jerry going to say on Tuesday at 8:30? And I said, he's going to say, you guys think you can really win? Name of the teams that can win without their franchise quarterback, star receiver, generational pass rusher, and their top or second best corner. I hope that's not like the campaign message moving forward and what they try to fall back on.
I mean, look, he will fall back on that to an extent. And then look, that's not an excuse. That is a reason, right? That those guys are hurt. That's factual. But they were bad before. Now Bland was never there.
What's your point?
But they were bad before, and that's part of the issue. But yeah, I mean, look, he can reasonably say, listen, yeah, the last couple of games, injuries have taken a toll, and I'm sure they have. But that doesn't mean that it just kind of wipes away everything else.
Why did the Atlanta Falcons call us Yankee fans? More Cowboy calls at 877-881-1053. All of that and below the belt as we continue right here on DFW Sports Station with another Cowboys Monday.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Fake to Robinson, back to throw, standing and looking, avoids a sack, sidearm throw caught at the 50, Robinson running away, people diving and missing, feathers flying in the air, and Bijan Robinson takes that pass down to the 26.
Brad Sham with the call. Is there some issue between you and Peyton over that audio?
No, I think that was much better audio than the 22-yard pass to Darnell Mooney that Peyton pulled. So great job pulling that, Peyton. I knew you could do it.
First one.
I believed in you, Peyton. I knew you were able to pull it, and you did a good job.
Thank you.
Cowboys lose 27-21 to Atlanta. Let's hear from the Tolos, who bring it every single Cowboys Monday on the D&M Leasing Hotline at 877-881-1053. Thank y'all for watching. You're setting record numbers on the YouTube, the fan cam, and the Twitch as well.
Our numbers are great. Everybody talks about how big our numbers are, okay? They're so much bigger than everybody else.
Get it out while you can before tomorrow, man. Get it out.
Do the whole show like that tomorrow.
Yeah, that's right. James in Dallas. Start us off, James. You're live on Sean and RJ.
Oh,
no.
Sean, RJ, Pepe, don't make me take off my belt. How you boys doing?
Woo! Great.
Now, I will say this. I don't know where you got that audio from, but that gentleman sounded very great. Now, I know you guys saw the game last night. There were fine players on both sides, so Cowboys fans, we need to stand down and stand aside while the greatest owner, Jerry Jones is the greatest owner. He is going to bring us back to glory. Okay. Jerry Jones likes it. He loves it. He's going to bring us back championship winner. Lastly, we need to get Ralph James Choppy an honorary doctorate. Bobby, Ralph is a doctor. He has the best takes. I believe in Ralph. I believe in Jerry. Love you guys.
Dude. Hey, Chop, you got to sign off on that impression.
That's fantastic.
James.
The cadence and the use of the word. Okay. All right. You got to throw that in there every now and then. It's perfect.
James in Dallas. That was fantastic. Well done.
Baby.
His Lions with a statement yesterday at Lambeau Field. Someone tweeted, man, their defensive coordinator can't even see through his goggles and his glasses, and he's still doing better than Mike Zimmer. Jeff and Keller, you're live on The Fan.
What's up, boys? Well. So, but you guys redeemed yourself with the, the power rankings and then Choppy being firmly on the Lions bandwagon, even though he picked a Kansas City ahead of us. But we'll talk about it at the firehouse visit on Friday. So, I love you guys. You guys make awesome takes. And, the beauty of, since we're staying political for a second, let me say this before I get to my main point. The fact that you guys made Jerry sound like Kamala a couple weeks ago.
Oh, God.
like blaming everybody and I'll do this and I'll do that. I mean, that was the big takeaway from that. Whether anybody, you guys can't say that, but the rest of us that were listening were like, am I watching Fox News or am I listening to Sean and RJ? Are we doing here? But here's the point. I love you guys, but in all reality, two things. You're not going to get a good coach to come here. It's not going to happen. I'm nobody. I'm dumb. But you're not going to get one coming. You're going to get Belichick, who wants to come past Shula. And once he passes Shula, he's done. Until you get a GM and a coach, Bobby may even agree with me on this. Who's going to come here? I tell you what, that caller from Wichita Falls, love him. Aaron Glenn ain't coming here, and neither is Ben Johnson. If they don't get a good gig, they'll stay where they're at. And it's all about depth, and you guys don't have anybody. And two last points. Number one, the defense is soft. Your DBs, except for Donovan Wilson, they make Deion Sanders look like Ronnie Lott back there. I mean. Oh
boy. Dude, the Kalen Carson third and five tackle.
Oh gosh.
No. Keep him up. We're not done with Jeff yet. He's on a roll. No, but I had to.
You're not going
to
get anything very high. And to be honest, nobody's going to take Dak. Nobody's going to take Mike on his podcast. I mean, Bleacher Report or Dave Portnoy might sign him. But, I mean, nobody's going to take him for all this other stuff. CD won't come across the middle, and he's a malcontent. But it's the depth. And, I mean, my boys sucked 3 years ago. And look at us now. Yes. And it's all about depth. It's a GM. Our GM is underrated. You guys don't have a GM. And, oh, by the way, guess who has $70 million cap space next year?
All right. Get out of here. They have $70 million in cap space.
They're run so well, so efficient. I never thought I would say this about the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, that Kalen Carson third and five missed tackle, that was big. They were down 21-10 in the third. Did not get off the field.
Yeah, I mean, he's not been great in general, but the fact that he's just been unable to tackle consistently is inexcusable.
Cody and Argyle, you're up next. Cody, you are live on Sean and RJ along with Bobby Roberto Bell. Go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
I mean, I love the first caller. One thing about the Cowboys is they're fake news. But, you know, I've had this mentality of being a Cowboys fan. Is the same mentality as I have as being single at 51 with young kids. If I don't set the bar too high, I cannot get disappointed.
Right.
I mean, this is just ridiculous. I mean, you know, Jerry needs to ask himself, if you were failing as a GM for 35 years, why are you still have a job? I mean, nothing's going to happen until they get rid of the GM, which we know is not going to happen. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, we're sitting there hoping and praying for even a playoff spot. We have a better chance to pick a fly poop out of pepper than getting to the playoffs. So what's the point?
No, we are not hoping for a playoff spot, y'all. And maybe this will be, well, maybe we'll have a lot of political phone calls in this segment. And maybe we'll have some political messages tomorrow during election and NFL trade deadline day as a possibility. Jerry Jones at 8:30. Y'all, this is going the way it needs to be going. This is all good. This is enjoyable. It has to be blown up. The only bad thing is they're coming back with the margin of victory in some of these. That's ticking me off a little bit. Instead of it being 17, 20, 23, they're making it closer when you look back in the margin of victory, in the margin of loss, I should say. And the other bad thing is like this Dak and Lamb thing, man, I hope it doesn't give them their excuse that they're hurt. I hope it doesn't. But this is absolute full-on team tank mentality. That's where I'm at. Enjoy it. There's no despair. There's no depression. This is the fun part. You want to see it blow up on them like that baseball Dodger fan.
Oh, my gosh.
His hand got absolutely destroyed.
Dude, that poor guy.
That's what you want right now. Hunter in Grapevine. Hunter, you are up next here on the Fam.
Yes, sir. All right. RJ. I know you like Lytics. I know you're a Lytics man.
I love Lytics. I love the Lytics, baby.
You're a Lytics man. So I got a Lytic that I think will go to what Sean just said about putting everybody at peace here, which is that now, okay, you got to take anomalies out. Guys like Patrick Mahomes, Shohei Ohtani, they don't count. They're statistical outliers for regular freaking human beings. So when you look at it, there is not one quarterback in the history of the NFL when being paid over 13% of his team's salary has won the Super Bowl. And over the last 20 years, when Tom Brady was taking pay cut after pay cut after pay cut and spent zero seasons his entire career in New England so they could buy talent around him above 13% salary, everybody else wanted to make the next record deal. They wanted to be the next $40, $50, $60 million man. Not one of those guys has won the Super Bowl yet. So if we go another 10 years of this trend where it is just obvious, unless you have an alien human being like Patrick Mahomes on your team, you cannot win if you – I mean, I know it's hard to keep the star quarterback because there's so few of them. But if you pay that guy, you physically cannot put enough talent around him to win the Super Bowl, and not a single one of them other than him has done it, and he just did it. If he does it again, that would be even crazier, but nobody else has. And so if nobody else does, what's going to happen? Once we pay Micah, we're so extreme in that we will have half of our salary on three players, and you got to pay 50 more of them with the other half. There's absolutely no way. You're going to have to keep signing people from Canada and from the Arena League till the end of freaking time.
Can you stand up right now?
I cannot stand up because, he's right.
You used to always give that stat or a similar stat.
So, yeah, Mahomes at, you know, like 17%. That's what he was most recently. Brady was at 12.6 in 2020. He was at 12.4 in 2018. Manning was at 12.2 in 2015. You got to go all the way back to, like, Steve Young for anything that comes remotely close to being higher than that. And
good info, Hunter.
You've had other guys lose in the Super Bowl with a higher number, but it's,
as has been pointed out by cap people with various teams, and this is why people keep paying them, is that it's a little bit of junk science. So that cap number, that percentage, is because your number is always changing. You don't just have a steady figure throughout it. There's stuff being adjusted to where your net cap number that year is 12%. But a lot of those guys who we just read off that they were 12%, there was a time when they signed their deal that they were taking up 22% of the cap. It's just that it's always evolving and changing what their number is.
It is, but like you know, you do get more money on the years where they're at 10% versus 20%, right? Yes, is it junk science? Maybe, but there's still... We have 30 years of data on it.
Back to the Odyssey app. Pepe, who do we have?
Next up, we have Rich in New Jersey. Last one here from the Odyssey app, Tolos. He has a little message here for Jerry Jones.
Surrounded by Eagles fans, the only person Jerry has to blame in this whole situation is himself. He does not know how to run the team, and he just does not want to accept the fact that the team needs a GM.
877-881-1053 in order to hit us up with the text messages as well. Rosebud in Fort Worth, you are up next. Break it strong here on the Fan. Go ahead.
Hello. Let's see. I got a Jerry Jones impersonation here. Sean, RJ, Bobby. Anyways.
that was it.
You weren't going to try to fire us or something?
No. So I actually tried calling the show that week that the Lions and Bears, the Cowboys. I was in Vegas. I was eating at Emmett Smith restaurant.
Whoa!
Steelers Nation was in town in Vegas that week because they were playing the Raiders. So it was a beatdown being out there. But the main reason why I'm calling is because I wanted to ask you guys, maybe you guys, I wondered if you could ask Jerry tomorrow if he could guarantee he could win another Super Bowl, if he would let go his role as being the GM, right? So would he step down as being the GM and just be an owner if he could guarantee another Super Bowl?
Thank you for the call.
He would talk. First of all, he's been asked that a million times, and he would talk in circles and say that nothing would change because you still got to go through me.
Yeah.
And that's the
I got to sign off anyway.
He's right in that regard.
Which is what he's doing now anyway, to be honest. He's just basically signing off on things. He's making decisions, and he is the veto pen, and he has overruled them before. But he has built a structure where he wants to have experts in place that give him a consensus, and then he rules on it.
But he also would say, if you could tell me that we can guarantee a win a Super Bowl, then you can't tell me because... There's nothing you can't prove that. It's a hypothetical, and I don't deal in hypotheticals.
Is this the official end of Ezekiel Elliott and why Bobby thinks it's not San Francisco, it's not the Baltimore, it's not the Saints? Yesterday's game against Atlanta was the one that will break the Cowboys' spirit. Below the belt, next on the home of the Cowboys with Sean and RJ after this. The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt. Is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
My belt.
We're not. Over to you, Bobby.
Back is Cousins. Time. Throws it in the end zone. Caught. Ray McLeod appeared to get away from Donovan Wilson. Wide open for the Atlanta touchdown.
Who could have ever predicted things would go so poorly in the return of Ezekiel Elliott to the Dallas Cowboys?
I thought you were going to say who could predict they would win by 10. You gave money away on that, betting the Cowboys to win this. Atlanta with three. That was easy money. Third quarter, I think it turned into 68-19 for the season now after the Ray-Ray McLeod touchdown. They outscored a 7-3, so I think it's 68-19 for the third quarters. But, yeah, the Zeke return, except for KMC's audience, I mean, everyone saw it coming.
Yeah, before we get into that specifically, Sean does make a good point. You're just giving money away with the
make a lot of good points.
Looking back on it now, I am curious. Was that a heart pick for you, Chop, going with the Cowboys?
No, it was a lack of faith in Atlanta pick.
Okay. All right. That's fair enough.
Yeah. You I just go by Atlanta.
Know thyself is the biggest thing. Ezekiel Elliott had a turbulent weekend. Actually, it wasn't turbulent. He wasn't on the plane, so I guess he didn't experience any turbulence. but Ezekiel Elliott had this benching, suspension, whatever you want to call it, at the hands of the Cowboys. Team imposed, where Ezekiel Elliott was reported not to be on the flight to Atlanta. The report then was that Ezekiel Elliott would be inactive this weekend. And so a lot of people initially took that to mean, okay, the Cowboys are just making a shift. Mike McCarthy talked a lot last week. I think we played the clips. Talked a lot last week about, I've always preferred going with younger guys. Yeah, I mean, I don't like seeing Deuce Vaughn inactive. I don't like that. And so people thought it was just a move towards that direction until we started getting the reports out there from Todd Archer and Jane Slater, Ian Rappaport, so on and so forth. Todd was the first one to have it. That Ezekiel Elliott was basically a team-imposed suspension. They called it disciplinary reasons, but that is essentially a suspension from the Cowboys. And reports after that from Jane and others said this was sort of a mutual decision after conversations that were had throughout the week had determined that he was not going to be active, and then both sides decided, you know what, let's take a little time to reflect on this and get away from it and breathe a little bit. I think that what occurred here was Zeke was told he wasn't going to be playing, and Zeke had a reaction that the Cowboys were not expecting, and in the intensity level they were not expecting. And Ezekiel Elliott, I think, has been, it's not a secret, it's been inferred at different times, but Ezekiel Elliott has been very unhappy this season for essentially the last 4 or 5 weeks especially. But Zeke feels like there should be opportunities for him here, and that he was brought here under a certain understanding, and that has not totally been met. And I think given how things ended the last time, where a pay cut wasn't even offered, it was just determined, we're cutting you, splitting your charge, moving forward, and having a little bit of sour taste from that, and then still coming back and feeling like they had this reunion and this redemption, I think that he's pretty frustrated overall by what was sold to him that he feels is a bill of goods.
Choppy, before the season, I told you he's going to play 7 games. How many carries would you think would make sense for 7 games?
0. per game, 0.
Okay.
Look, I thought we all thought that the moment they signed him and they didn't draft anybody, that he was going to start week 1. And
I didn't, but I was wrong. He started in name,
but I mean, he was getting, you know, decent amount of carries, like far more than we all thought he deserved. And that's just the reality. Like, they put themselves in this position. They didn't address the position in the offseason. They didn't address it in the draft.
No, but give me a number. 7 games in, before the season starts, Zeke should have what amount of carries through 7 games?
Based off his talent level, he should have 4 games. You know, like that. Okay. He should be. And I don't have a problem with his snap count number if a lot of it is pass protection.
Yeah.
Right. And if he's absolutely the best pass protecting running back they have, if that's true, I don't have a problem with his snap count number, which means that he also is going to get more carries anyway, just because, you know, you change things at the line of scrimmage and he's already in there.
We'll carry him out, Bobby.
I would have felt like he should have gotten through 7 games, probably about what he's gotten, or a little less potentially. What I expected he was going to get through 7 games was he's getting a little over half what I thought he was going to get. And that's also from just discussions I had with people and insight that I had. So
he's
heard some of those
half,
things,
like less.
Yeah. I was expecting him to get 10 to 12 carries a game, and that's not happening.
Okay.
And hasn't been happening.
I would have said before the season, since no one wants to answer the actual question,
I answered both
4 to 5 carries a game. He's at 48. So 7 times 5 is 35. He's gotten more work than I thought he would have gotten, or I think he should have gotten. 5 carries a game, maybe 6, 10 to 12. And we have to figure out what the initial plan and discussion was. What did they lay out to him? What was his role supposed to be? We all just assumed basically a veteran cheerleader, a mentoring cheerleader. They may have told him 10 to 12. There's a reason we didn't go get anyone else, and we don't have anyone besides Rico that we're looking to get carries. You're going to be the bell cow. You're going to be the guy. You are going to lead the team in carries, and we're going to turn to you every week. And maybe that's why he got ticked off. We don't know what was said to him initially, what was promised.
Juice was a big part of what he was told he would be coming here to bring, which is they wanted
juice.
Juice.
That's the last thing that he's capable of bringing.
What? No, dirt. That kind of juice. Like intensity during the practice week. Okay. They felt like his practice habits were really strong. They felt like it was contagious to other players. They felt like they really missed it last year. And for a team that needs better practice habits, clearly, inserting him in there, they thought this will be good. Now, here's the big question that we probably got to figure out a way to ask Jerry this tomorrow somehow.
And by the way, Jane Slater reported he's been a distraction this season. Aside from habitual tardiness, he's missed 3 team meetings, with Friday's meeting being the final straw. Yeah.
And that's a guy, when you start missing meetings, it's a guy that knows that his role is gone and he's not. He knows that he can't do it either.
Well, Dez Bryant would say none of that is a big deal. Dez tweeted, "I really hate that this is reported because you and I both know it's been far worse S that's never been reported on certain players. I can recall a player missing an S ton of weeks of practice and it never hit the media. Wild S, man." So that's Dez having Zeke's back.
Okay, now
everybody's right. Dez is right. That happens. It's happened with Zeke throughout his career in Dallas, where he has been late to meetings and late to, you know, flights out of town and different things like that. That's been him throughout his entire career.
Right, but what Dez is missing, I think, is that it doesn't... A lot of that matters with... I think the players sometimes forget who you are doesn't mean what you are anymore. Zeke, if this was 2016 Zeke, he can miss as many meetings as he wants.
Yeah.
And practices, and he'll still be on the field, and he's still going to be the bell cow, and he's still going to perform.
Yep.
Dez, in 2012 and 2014... could miss as many meetings as he wanted.
Yep.
But Dez in 2016 and 2017, he's not that guy anymore.
Yep.
And you just can't do that. And there comes a point in everybody's life, especially athletes, where they cross over from a player that matters to a player that doesn't matter. And Zeke is realizing fast that he's a player that doesn't matter anymore. And you can't act the same way.
Here's the thing that's really puzzling to a lot of different people right now. Is that okay? Fine, we can take that report. Take the report that Zeke has been a habitual problem and that he's been distracted this year and he's been late to meetings and this was building and this was kind of the final straw. Why, if he has been a habitual problem, did his workload from the Giants game steadily increase in terms of the amount that he was playing?
Wow.
Because you're sending...
Great question.
I could also see...
There's a lot of people that would text right now. And they took Jerry Jones' pregame. A lot of people turned Jerry's pregame answer with Christy Scales on the Fan into him undercutting Mike McCarthy again. And a lot of people would answer back that question, Bobby, and say, Zeke went to Jerry. I don't know this. I don't know who he went to, but we know something happened behind the scenes. Zeke went to Jerry, complained, and Jerry, you know, with his Jim Brown comparison with Zeke in New England, maybe this is just a theory. I'm not reporting. I don't know. I would tell you if I knew. Jerry pushed it on the coaching staff from McCarthy. Get Zeke his carries.
I think
that would make sense.
I have not had it spelled out to me either in any sort of way. I think it was probably just enough noise was made that it got further up top and they became aware of it and had discussions about it and said, well, let's try Zeke a little more. I don't know that there was any sort of like a sit down. But I think that there was enough noise made of just like, hey, Zeke's kind of unhappy, guys, and this isn't great right now. And it does lead to several other questions. And not to be conspiracy-minded, because I'm not saying these are the answers. But
yeah, save that for tomorrow.
It does make you wonder, okay, could you not get Dalvin Cook active and on the field because you were concerned about Zeke's already upset? We don't want to make him more upset. Is there a reason why the Rico Dowdle workload tapered off after a Pittsburgh game where he played really well? And you start asking these questions of just, were you going to the whims of a player you still felt a little romantic about?
Didn't have his pads on. Let's put it like that.
Oh, baby. Looking good.
Or to be fair, did you, because the way Zeke seems to feel about it, did you tell him something? And Zeke just said, guys, look, you guys, you either need to let me go or you need to start living up to what you told me I was here to do. And the Cowboys went, well, we don't let him go. All right, fine. If this is the understanding, we've got to meet him a little bit. I'm sure, you know, they always say it's two sides of a story. Obviously, Zeke's going to have his perspective. I'm sure he doesn't feel he's wrong, especially if there was a tense moment that led up to Zeke, you're inactive, and just it reached a boiling point, I think. But it's a testament to how sideways everything has gone this season and how further, you know, up and down and around this can go, that somebody like Zeke, who Jerry fought through so many different headaches for, public and private, and financially, you know, costly and not, for this to be a breaking point where, like, the relationship has been fractured.
You think is he done?
Yes, I think so. I don't think anything's been decided, but my England is, given where it is and seeing how other things have played out with the Cowboys in the past, I don't think he plays for the Cowboys again.
Ooh.
With the Philadelphia Eagles playing and winning yesterday, they're still not one of the two biggest stories in the sports world. They're both coming out of Philadelphia. The two biggest stories in sports, and none of it has to do with the Eagles. Final hour of a Cowboys Monday next on Sean and RJ, 105.3 The Fan.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.